Hey, welcome.
Welcome.
This is Christian AF. I'm Jen.
And I'm here
with the ladies.
Just
all
my girlfriend.
The ladies.
We've talked about this for a long time, but today on the episode, we have the wives of my podcast partners and some of my besties. So Evan's wife, Heather, Jesse's wife, Alex, and my dear friend, Heather Camacho.
Wife, partner, and soulmate.
Yes.
She wishes.
It is almost our anniversary. We do have an anniversary.
Yes.
If you didn't know
it's
that.
It's in July.
I did not know that. What day?
It'll be 19 years.
Such a commitment. We are just talking about women in leadership. It goes a lot of different directions around that, but just the struggles of... Well, not even struggles. The experiences as women in the church and especially in leadership and in a lot of different ways in the roles that we put ourselves in as women in the church. So sit back, relax, grab a drink. Here we go. Okay. Are you guys ready?
Sure.
Should we pray?
Don't be nervous.
Should we pray?
No. Just kidding. Okay, ready?
Dear Jesus.
Hello, Christian AF peoples. Today I have, it's just me, Jen. Listen up. No, just kidding. I'm here with some friends. It is the ladies episode. This is our, it's not quite a rebuttal, but it's a callback to Jesse and Evan and Craig doing an episode without me. So today I have Heather, Evan's wife. Say hello.
Hello.
That's not how she normally sounds. Jesse's wife, Alex, is also here.
Hello.
And my life partner, Heather. No, I'm kidding. our good friend, Heather, is also here. So the four of us are, it is Women's Month that this is coming out. So it's a little bit of a nod to that.
March.
Do you know? No, I don't know. I don't know the answer to this. I was going to say, why is Women's Month in March? And there's probably a solid reason, but I don't know the answer.
There was, but I don't remember.
Okay, great. What this episode is not is like a diatribe on feminism or anything like that. That wasn't really the goal. We just want to talk about being Christian women in the church, in ministry, in leadership, some of the struggles of that and kind of, I don't know, we'll see where things go. We've been talking about doing this episode for, I don't know, eons?
2 years.
Since you guys started the podcast.
Pretty much. So, just a chance for us ladies to talk a little bit and we'll see where things go. But first, as is tradition, what are you drinking, gals? Don't all talk at once.
This is Heather Camacho speaking.
Yeah, you're dealing with two Heathers today.
Boom, take that.
Heather C, Heather S.
Thankfully, you don't sound very similar on mic.
The low voice is
but
Heather
I can
C.
try.
I am drinking Woodford bourbon and
damn son,
as am I.
With Jen, we're sharing because
not one cup, we're not sharing one glass.
We have our own, we're glasses. Badasses. We're sharing the bottle,
two straws,
yes, very long straws, just straight bourbon through a straw.
One cup,
nope,
straight.
Stop it. Nope,
it's a little watered down.
No, it's good, it's good.
So it's not straight bourbon.
There's a giant, large ice cube in mine,
yes,
and hers, yes.
Anyway, anyone else?
Alex, what are you drinking?
I am on the team non-beer.
Lame.
Yeah.
No, it's gross.
You're not drinking beer either.
You're gross. Yeah,
but I like
wasting
beer.
Your time. I am drinking Cider Boys Grand Mimosa.
Ooh, cider. Cider Boys. Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, pretty much a breakfast cider.
It's like a, mimosa.
It's a mimosa.
But yum.
Cider. Mm-hmm.
That sounds good.
Happy good morning drink.
Yeah, pretty much.
Happy good morning juice.
It very much looks like orange juice, so you could get away with it.
Sweet.
I had some mead the other day. I've never had mead before, but it's gross.
Mm-hmm. Was it gross?
It sounds gross.
Like syrupy, kind of?
Yeah. I mean, apparently it's made from honey. Evan enlightened me after I purchased it.
It's the oldest form of beer, I think.
Well, it's beer made from honey.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, that was gross.
What are you drinking, Heather S?
I'm drinking tea.
Alex, you are breathing so hard into that mic.
I'm drinking tea from Jimmy John's. It's very fancy. And water.
They are not sponsoring this episode.
Oh, no.
You did it. Actually, no.
Actually.
Surprise. Okay. Well, that's what we're drinking. Great. So one of the first things, since everyone listening knows me relatively from the podcast, hopefully, just give us a little, like a quick backstory, kind of how, either how you grew up in the church or when you came in, like, you know, Christian, brief Christian journey. And then also like the first way that you served in the church once you started volunteering.
I'm oldest, so I'll go first. I am nearing 41, you guys. Woo-hoo. So it's been a long history of church. I grew up in a Christian family, and my dad was on staff at a church. Not initially, but he traveled doing church ministry. And yeah, so we were very involved, went, you know, a couple, 2-3 times a week, and in the EV-free non-denom world.
A lot of acronyms there.
Lots. Evangelical free church.
Yeah. Yes, non-denominational.
There you go.
So I did Awanas. I did, you know, kids choir, youth group. Yeah. So, but in serving, it would be music would be the first way. I'm the worship leader at our current church. And...
Is that a secret?
Just some context.
You just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings by saying it out loud? What?
I don't know. I'm just weird. So like youth group band, that was like the first way of getting involved with serving. And then big church band and all that good stuff. So usually music related, but like some service trips and things like that along the way. So it's been a long, most of my entire life being involved with church and ministry to some extent.
Cool.
Yeah,
I'm impressed you actually did that quickly.
Do you have a timer?
I'm not generally long-winded.
No, I just I put 1 to 2 minutes, and I figured everyone would take 12. So
right,
great job.
No, I also thought 1 to 2 minutes was brief.
Yeah,
I mean it says brief, but
let's unpack that real quick.
General background.
Let's see. Yeah. You guys know how well I know you. That's what's happening in the notes here.
All right. Well, as second oldest, I guess I'll go.
That would be Jen.
That would be Jen. That is, she just called you out. I did not grow up in a faith community, if you will. My surrounding extended family all attended churches, and we would pray at like big meals and family functions. But my immediate family, we didn't go to church. But when I did... my first foray into any kind of serving was the first day I ever went to a church, intentionally. Mm-hmm. I was pretty much tricked by the friend I was spending the night at in high school. I was a junior in high school. She's like, hey, come to my church. I got to stop by and do something real quick, but then we'll go hang out at my house and spend the night. I was like, great. Yeah, no problem. Didn't realize it was a lock-in for middle schoolers. Oh. And we were the like leaders.
You?
Yeah.
I remember that well.
Yeah. And so I was like, great, I'm here now. And luckily, I'm the oldest of practically 6 kids. So I'm just like, great. Teenage boys, where's the deodorant? I'm spraying everybody. So that was my first not only entrance into church formally, but yeah, my first time serving same day. So that was quick. Luckily, that was... I guess a quick beginning. So it got me involved right away. I started attending the church pretty regularly as a part of the older chunk of the youth group with Jen and Heather
and
you. Yeah. And Jesse, my husband. And before we were together. And yeah, from there I started when Jesse and I were together. And after we had our, well, before and after we had our daughter, our oldest daughter, I just became a part of nursery because I felt called as a parent to like, hey, if my kid's being involved in this ministry and I'm using the resources in this ministry, I should probably give back. And it seemed the easiest. So I picked nursery because that's where she was.
Bless you, because I've never felt that.
Take my children. Thank
yes,
you.
Please. Thank you very much. I'm with them all day. So yeah, and eventually through the creation of Grassroots, myself and the pastor's wife at the time looked at each other, and she was a teacher, and looked at me, and she's like, yeah, so I do this all day long. You can do it. And was pretty much our church ministry, like the kids, as we not only grew as a church, but as the children, the number of children grew, went from just being a nursery program to like a children's church is what we call it for kids up into 5th grade. I was that for almost 10 years. And then,
damn, son. Bless you, my child.
Yeah. And then I decided when Heather and Evan got to our church, I was like, yeah, I'm done with this. Could somebody else take it over, please? Thank you.
But I still currently serve like every couple of weeks in our nursery and as needed.
Yeah.
Heather.
Sweet.
Number two, the youngest of the bunch. The youth in the room.
I am 41.
Don't take my age from me.
They are becoming one, Heather.
We both really like jingles. Oh. And now this. Mm.
So many things.
I identify as a 41-year-old. I'm sorry.
My old soul.
I had to take it there. I hate it so much. Brief backstory. I grew up in the church. I could give more details, but I will not.
You can.
We'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe probably not to those details, but.
There's no rules.
Now
share what you want.
Well, yeah. It's all part of my story, but it's not all my story. So, I can't, anyway.
You do you.
I digress. Yeah, so I grew up in, I think I started in the evangelical free, but I did not, like, grow up in my more formative years. About third grade, I went to a church that I went to for until I was 18, so 15 years. Wait, 15 years? That doesn't check out.
No one said how math was one involved in third grade.
I'm three. Eight? I'm three eight, in third grade.
Cora's in third grade.
I was nine.
She's old for
I was
grade.
Nine.
So between
yeah.
eight and nine. Eight
nine. No, I was nine, guys. Okay. I just did the maths.
So nine-ish years yes. you were in that church.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Through your youth.
Anyway, mm-hmm. yeah. And it was a lifesaver for me. It, yeah, absolutely formed my faith and brought me to where I am. But as far as serving, I think I probably served in the nursery when I was 13, maybe before then. I had like my first job at the church. It was Wednesday night. What did I even babysit for? I think it was choir practice.
It was
choir practice. Yeah. And there's a big old choir.
Lots of kids, I'm sure. Is that the Universal Music Night is Wednesdays?
Well, I actually don't know how many kids there were because it was mostly like old warblers. Like, ooh.
turkey necks.
That's a formal term.
I totally picture exactly the people that you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the
with
church,
or without robes? I need to know.
There were robes involved,
what
but not
kind
every
of church?
Sunday. It was non-denominational, but
okay.
traditional.
But, no, y'all. I went to a Baptist church when we moved to Alabama, and I was like, wait a second. This is the church I grew up in. They lied to me.
So they just didn't tell you.
Baptist hiding yeah. as non-denominational.
Yeah, that's kind of what it felt like. But I have
non-denominational robes.
I've never gone. Non-denominational.
Everybody had a different color on.
I've never gone back to like fact checked that, but they also kicked the pastor out. So, you know,
nice
colored.
Classic church.
Speaking of ladies in the church,
yeah,
it was ladies that kicked him out.
Oh, really?
Well, then it was probably deserved.
No. LOL, feminism.
And then, okay, anything else?
So serving in the church. Yeah, and then I've just done like music in like, what's it called? Worship bands.
Did you ever do dramas? Were you in theater stuff at church?
Oh, y'all, my mom was the leader of the drama department. I'll put air quotes there because I don't know that it was a department, but that's how I actually met Evan. We were
that's right.
Yep, we were in a.
He liked your butt.
Our true
true story.
That's what he always says.
In case you haven't heard that 1,000 times on this podcast, yeah. So my mom put us in this drama together where we were husband and wife. So I'm like, it's your fault, mom. You know, you brought this upon yourself.
Which we are all thankful for.
And the rest is just kidding. Yeah. The rest is history. So the end.
Nice.
2 minutes.
You did great. It's I'm not
three, five.
There's no timers. Oh,
35.
It's okay. I just didn't want us to take an hour to do backstory and then
intros.
I had to end the episode.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. We'd one. Have to put it into two parts, Philippe.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Unexpected. I will go. Everyone knows my backstory a little bit, but I grew up in the Catholic Church. But the first way I served was as an altar server. One of the first female altar servers.
Damn, snap.
Because it wasn't snaps. Allowed before I started doing it. So, yeah, it wasn't allowed for girls
was
to
it
be
altar
March
servers. March 1st?
I don't believe that.
Do you very have an fitting. Award?
I don't have an award.
Oh, you should.
I also...
Jesse has an award for being first paper boy or youngest yeah. paper boy. You should get an altar server award.
You know, I should. And then that was also my first job because you could make money if you did weddings or funerals as an altar server. And that was where the good money was.
Side hustle
especially
in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Especially funerals.
Yeah. Because, you know, you pay for the funeral and part of that goes to the altar servers.
Huh. And you just batted your eyes and you're like, can I have a dip
at
this funeral?
I would have to like hold the bucket that the holy water went in. It was very high pressure.
Such as Jen's origin story as a serial killer to then make money as an altar server.
Listen, you know, your journey is Job what your security. Journey is, guys, okay?
Can't control it.
Okay, so one of the things I wanted to talk about something I think is a little bit interesting about this U3 is we kind of have two sides of a coin here of Heather being married to our lead pastor, and then Alex is obviously married to Jesse, who, he now shares, Heather's technically our worship leader, but Jesse's part of that ministry, but also is kind of like, in front of the church as a leader, not that you also haven't been on leadership, Alex, but just kind of like being married into those types of roles, like even when you and Jesse met, the way he was serving, and then Heather being the opposite of being the spouse in leadership. I don't know, I just think it's kind of an interesting balance of the two. And so I want to talk a little bit about like expectations that you guys feel like are placed on you because of your spouse or maybe expectations that are placed on your spouse because of you or vice versa. So whether you have like specific challenges that you've faced because of that, whether they're personal or actual scenarios, like whatever you guys hopefully thought about when I sent out questions ahead of time.
I thought about it in the parking lot at Jimmy John's.
Hey, that's good.
Not a sponsor.
But I mean, I don't, you know, this being in leadership in church is not like sunshine and roses for any of us. But I think it's interesting to have kind of both sides of the coin here on, you know, you guys all being in marriages and trying to also lead churches. So go for it.
Go. Go team, go. Heather's the most prepared and also the oldest. So we're going to go with
we
Heather
just keep
Camacho.
Making her. Keep no, going. This
I
is
just
not that
go
serious,
first,
no,
guys.
I'm joking. No. I mean, I can go.
Oops. Sorry. I hit my mic. Sorry.
Heather Savage will go. Oh, let's throw this in there. If you combine Heather and Evan, you have Heaven.
That's their couple name. That's what we call them.
That's your celebrity couple name.
Exactly. So it's kind of fitting and also a little barf. So
more cringe than anything.
Cringe,
yeah,
but cringe. That's the word.
Jesse and Alex is Jalex. So
how about Jowlix? Jowls. All right. All right. Now I'm reading the question again. Okay, expectations. I feel like as a pastor's wife, there's probably a lot of different expectations. I go back to thinking about like the pastor that I grew up in and what his wife kind of did, and kind of there have been kind of those expectations placed on me of like, you know, your involvement. Or I feel like what I watched growing up was my pastor's wife like just taking on all of the family stuff, like. Yeah. The cooking the meals and taking care of the children, you know, like traditional type women things. Women things.
Lady things, as your husband would say.
The lady stuff.
And so I kind of kept that in mind as I've grown into this, you know, role, whatever that is, because I've been in it for a while, I guess. How long would that have been? 6-7 years? Maybe 8?
I mean, it's been 5 here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Right. And then several years before then. So, yeah, something like that. Anyway, math. Y'all know I'm not good at math at this point.
Longer than you haven't been a pastor's wife at
yeah,
this
I think
point.
So, yeah. So, yeah, it's been different everywhere we went. I started this role in Alabama, which is, you know, like church mecca of the United States, not Alabama specifically, but the South. So a church on every street corner. It was, there are some things that are helpful about it of like everybody wants to come in and help and chime in and take care of your kids or whatever. And then there's other aspects of maybe in the church that we were at was a little larger. So it's like, maybe people don't want to be involved with you or keep your distance from you because you might share something with your husband or whatever. And then to now a smaller church where I don't really feel like anybody at our church has expectations of me, period, which is lovely. But then also there is another part of it where, like, Evan is my husband and that is their pastor. So maybe they don't want their pastor knowing certain information about them. Like, so maybe someone doesn't share as much with me or doesn't want me to share as much with my about my marriage because they don't want to know that about their pastor or it makes them uncomfortable. So then it's kind of isolating in that regard of, like, what is safe to share where and with who. So you have to kind of find your people.
One thing I've always found interesting about, at least I find it interesting when churches are like, looking for a new pastor, like they're in a hiring process. There are some churches that do a full interview with the spouse and it almost as though, like, we treat a pastor's spouse as though they are also being hired. And I take a lot of issue with that of like, I mean, obviously it's somewhat important, but I don't think it's such an unfair thing, I feel like, to like put the pressures of your spouse's role or position or job. Like, you don't go interview for a finance position and they interview your spouse to make sure you should have that job. Right. And I get part of it of like, yes, you're leading people. So I do understand a little of like wanting to make sure someone's healthy to lead people. But this idea of like, when I was prepping for this episode, I was like just kind of Googling some questions I could maybe ask you guys. And some of one of the things I found was this. It was literally interview questions for a pastor's wife when you're interviewing. And it just was so, it put such a bad taste in my mouth. And I was like, why are we putting this pressure on these women to then feel like it's their fault if their spouse doesn't get this job because they're interviewing for something that like they didn't probably go to seminary. They don't know these answers to some of these questions. Like they're just part of the church community also. And they happen to be married to the person who is leading the church. And so that's kind of one of the things I think about is like, I can't imagine, you know, whether warranted or not, pressures that we put on ourselves without even realizing it of like you're saying, like, what can I even share with people without possibly hindering what my husband's doing or whatever. But and it's not just you, but I think it's true across the board when we're trying to be a supportive spouse.
I guess I'm a little bit of rebuttal to that, not directly the pastors. I work for a not-for-profit and that's not uncommon actually in the not-for-profit world, especially if you're traveling across country, they do interview the family because they're like, you are moving several states. If you do have children, what does that look like in reflection of your environment and like their education? Because some of them don't move. And Heather, Jen and I, from the church we left, their pastor's wife left with some of their children to take a job on her own and they were separated for a little while. Yeah, and so that was a part of, and so that was a part of the process,
like, but life change, but more so like,
The pressure's for sure. But like, I guess for that,
like, biblical,
that doesn't shock me as much.
How you support, like, just more traditional views on like what family should look like that they put then on that spouse, typically the female spouse, because 90% of the time you're interviewing a male lead pastor, I would say. And certainly asking questions about, are you actually okay leaving? Or is this just like your spouse saying like, hey, this is what we're doing. I think that makes a lot of sense of making sure they're not going to get here, start the job and then have to leave because the significant other didn't want to move kind of a thing, but more so just the as if they're also being paid by the church, I guess.
Yeah. You know, well, it does feel like that.
Yeah. Like you're being, it's a whole kit and caboodle for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different from most jobs, whereas like it's not just a job you do and go home. Like it does go with you. Mm-hmm. Like it's a full like lifestyle job.
Absolutely. Yeah. It affects the whole family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, on that, having grown up in a family where my dad kind of like local-ish ministry, but like I'm having a brain fart.
It's okay.
Missionary type work.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
You're good. You're good. Nobody's watching.
So he would travel to camps and do speaking and music engagements. And we're homeschooled, surprise, surprise. And so we could go with him. But then taking the job at a church as the main worship pastor. So kind of growing up in that environment, I don't know if it was so much pressure from other people or expectations, but it was just kind of there and unspoken as like, you will be involved and you probably eventually some leadership role. Like I was like a youth group leader, like as like a student leader, you know, and you're going to lead the band and you're going to probably be on this team or this team. And
just assume
even just attendance, like you have to be there. Like it affects how you schedule your life. And not that church shouldn't affect your life, but it's just kind of expected to be super involved and to lead, and whether it's spoken or my own pressure to myself, just because you see it happening, it can be a lot. Like you have to be a part of everything and do everything and just take it all on, you know. And yeah, you feel like you're being watched, scrutinized, and you don't know if it's safe or not. And, you know, yeah.
Yeah. And it's got to be hard when it is your job, your career. Like, speaking for, you know, Jesse and myself, when we helped found Grassroots, I mean, it was all volunteer for us. And so some of that was never directed to me as far as like, oh, well, Jesse's up there playing. People would constantly come up to me and be like, oh, aren't you so proud of him? I'm like, I mean, yeah, it's something he loves to do and he throws himself into. But there was a little bit of a resentment for the fact that it's like, I mean, it's a 60-hour a week volunteer job. And there was plenty of times where it's like, we haven't gone to church together. I mean, I'm showing up, you know, he has to be there 7:38 in the morning for setup and tear down, whatever. But like, there's plenty of family functions or things where it's like, okay, well, I'll see you when I see you. Or like, he just couldn't come. And like, you're not even getting paid for this, which again, not growing up in the church, that like self-sacrificing, you know, this is just what you do in leadership was hard for me to also kind of come to terms with. But it was something he was obviously very passionate about, still continues to be. But there's a lot of hard conversations we had. Like, I would like to just go to church with you on Sunday morning together. That would be nice.
I get that.
Yeah. So, well, you know. Oh, I was about to say. So, you know, that being his job, it's like he has to do this. Like, this is not optional, but it's kind of not.
In the moment.
In the moment, it's not. Yeah.
You're
it's
caring like, for your family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. So what choice do we have? You know?
Well, and then all the expectation or whatever that we carry upon ourselves or from others, like that inevitably leads to burnout, leads to resentment of, you know, why isn't everyone else doing things? Or why am I the only one doing these things? It seems like it isn't always that way, but it feels that way. And so, yeah, you just end up in this big old mess of
cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it becomes comfortable and normal and
Well, because you feel like you should be sacrificing. Like, that is part of what you're doing in church leadership.
And yeah.
Yeah, it can go too far, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But the pendulum.
Yeah. And it's so hard when you're seeing them connect with people or, like, something's blossoming. You're like, wow, like, you know, there's people that he's training on this because so that way it will lift his burden. But then
Takes more time,
but then he gets excited because now that burden's lifted, he's like, ooh, I can do this now. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Take on this other ministry.
I can go ahead and do this too. And I was like, wait, we were trying to back off and now you're refilling that hole with something else. When we did get together and, you know, Jesse's shared our journey and when we got pregnant with our oldest, and I was kind of serving in the nursery and he was up on stage, it was an interesting thing being unwed and having his, at that time, girlfriend, fiance, pregnant. Like, he wasn't pulled off of stage until I was showing. And then it was like, we need to have a lesson in this, you know, not until you guys are married pretty much can you get back on stage, which fell through because it was still a relatively small worship team. So he went up every once in a while, but I wasn't allowed to be in a volunteer in nursery anymore until after her birth.
Oh my gosh.
And so that was hard for me, again, being someone new to a church community, where, and I just didn't get it. I was like, how does this not?
We're still here.
We're still here. Yeah. Like, and I did, there was a while I was like, why am I even bothering showing up? I'm like, my friends are there. It's important to him. We had those conversations. Like, but it was really hard to talk to a community that was like, do you care? Mm-hmm. Do you actually care about us? Or were you worried about the image? I'm like, I'm not the one up there standing and singing, but why is that reflective on him and what he can do? I think he was able, and Jen, you can correct me if I'm wrong. This was a long time ago. It's almost like 18 years ago. I think he could still help with like back end stuff and sound.
I don't remember if it was like Jesse can insert a correction if you would like when he edits this episode.
But like being on stage was not
because
okay
that
anymore.
Teaches you a really hard lesson of something that's already happened.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And like we were engaged and we were going to marriage counseling with that pastor.
Having a baby isn't heavy enough.
Yeah. Like, yeah, as 18-19 year old, like it was very so I was, when after she was born, it took a lot from me, except for the fact that I can hold grudges really well. And so I'm like so I was just like, fine, I'm gonna volunteer the heck out of this because I don't want to leave my newborn baby with y'all anymore. So I was pretty much serving almost every weekend back there because I was like signing up, like, sign me up, you don't want me back here, I'm gonna be back here as much as I can. And it's true, and which is not the West, you know, like the best way to go about it. But if for some reason it changed when she was born. I mean, we got married when she was 3 months old, so that also helped. But like for them in their eyes, but
yeah, that's a tricky situation.
It was very interesting, and then there was no other discussion ever about it.
Yeah, I guess that's probably where like the failure could be, is like you're missing the opportunity to have good discussion between two people or two sets of people with two different ideas or two different beliefs or understandings of what the church should be. Like if we are to guard holiness and guard the church as being holy, like where does that fall with situations like that? Like,
well, yeah, discipline for the sake of discipline or whatever.
Yeah, or like, for the holiness of the church. Like is that what was being guarded at that point? Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Or are they just choosing what sins mean that you can't serve?
Right.
Right.
Like, are we leaving all of our other, like, the sins pride of everyone else to be allowed to be on stage? Right. And we're removing a physical representation of a quote-unquote sin?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where I would take more issue is, like, we're then, as humans, decide elevating one sin over another by removing someone's ability to serve. Yeah. And I don't, we've talked about this before on the podcast, too, of, like, it is a very tricky situation, and it should be, but there's also, Evan's not here to give me the scripture, but there is scripture that tells us how we should come to someone when there's an issue and what we should do. And it doesn't necessarily mean.
It was in 1 Corinthians. We've talked about it.
Probably.
On a Sunday.
It might have been, yeah.
We've been in 1 Corinthians for 10 months at our church, guys. And, or 10
been
months
beautiful
by the time we're done.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, anyone else on that topic?
Well, kind of on the flip side of that, like going back to originally kind of the expectations, since we're women.
Yeah. Right.
The kind of the opposite of Alex's story is like growing up in the church as a girl. Like, the general goal of a girl in the church is what? You find your husband. Mm-hmm. You find your husband, you get married, you have babies, you stay home with your kids, and you are the godly wife that raises a family. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's a beautiful thing. But that is, like, your mission as a girl in church. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to go to college, that's fine. But maybe go to Moody Bible, where you can find a good husband.
Get an MRS degree.
Moody Bridal Institute.
What does that mean?
Mrs. MRS.
You've never heard that before?
Yeah. But that is your mission as a young Christian woman. That is not all you are good for. But, and then there's the whole, and you guys have talked about it on the podcast before, but even just purity culture, we are responsible for our Christian brothers and not leading them astray, but which there is some truth. Again, there is some truth to that, but it goes both ways and they can learn as well. You know, to control themselves. They're, you know, but it's just, I feel like so much of that burden is placed on young girls be careful how you present yourself. Be careful of how you talk or whatever. So many of these things that at such a young age, you feel the pressure of that. You have to present yourself a certain way. And it's, yeah,
and
it's
then when
a lot.
You don't fall in line, like you're treated a certain way, I would.
Mary Magdalene. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. People call you.
I mean, be as not married
right.
and growing up in the church, I definitely, like, it was always, no one ever was like, oh, get married, blah, blah, blah.
It's because you're Catholic.
Well, even, but I'm saying, like, once I switched, but it is sometimes, like, A, being in leadership and single is sometimes interesting. Mm. Like, the questions that people think it's fine to ask you. Uh-huh. It's much like if you're a married couple without children, the fact that people feel that it's fine for them to just ask
out of nowhere,
where you don't know that person's story. Like, you don't, maybe I was married and I'm now widowed and you don't know my story, and like, or whatever it might be, like, you don't know someone's story. And I think especially in the church, like, people are just so comfortable putting an expectation of marriage and babies on mm-hmm. women, especially, like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like
men
yeah. come in and they don't
yeah,
ask
that's
those.
Interesting.
Yeah, they come in and see our three daughters, like, oh, you're gonna try for a boy? Like, what? Why are you asking me this?
Oh my god!
Like, what?
Why are we? I just don't know. Yeah, there's
the savages
so much.
Have a couple you can have.
Yeah, Heather will lend you one anytime.
We can trade.
Yeah,
you want to trade these?
It'd be so quiet.
I don't mean, if Micah and Benjamin listen to this later on, we don't mean it. I'm just joking.
They love you very much.
They do. We all do. Yeah, but I think it is interesting how, and you know, it's not men asking us those questions. It's other women, right? Yeah. So it's almost like,
what do I have
why
to
haven't,
be for
why
you
aren't we all fitting this exact same mold? And it's like, why do we expect that? Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of that is like, did we carry that with us from childhood? Probably.
Probably.
Did we see that example in the churches we grew up in? Probably. Yeah. Not so much my experience, but like definitely if you grew up in like an evangelical faith or like First Assembly, like, I don't know, whatever, in Assemblies of God, any other denomination, really.
Traditional.
Like Catholics, like women, like they serve in the church. Like I had a pretty good experience with that, but there was still some expectations of that kind of thing. And again, case in point, like I, you know, girls not being able to be altar servers until 2000 or whatever year it was when I started doing that. It would have been in the 90s, I guess, but it was the 90s. yeah. So I think it is interesting that, like, I don't know how we change that narrative, right? Which is probably just taking women in the church today, not starting with those questions mm-hmm. when we meet new people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's like, what can we ask about one another that aren't those kind of gender norm questions? Like, what box do you fit in? Because then I know, because sometimes, especially again, single person, it feels like I'm being interviewed of like, can we be friends or not? Like, can we relate?
Oh,
which if I don't have a husband and kids, then we're probably not going to hang out because we're not in the same boxes of life, or, you know, we don't overlap. And it's like, and part of that is I think we it's a slippery slope of finding your identity in your spouse and your kids. Mm-hmm. And so then that becomes, and for anyone, and I could do that with my job. What are we finding our, we've talked about this ad nauseum, like, are we finding our identity in God or are we finding our identity in things about us? But I think part of it feels like that sometimes for me is like especially women, we do this to each other. Like, do we relate in anything instead of like, and it, for a lot of people, that's their kids because you're consumed by raising your kids when they were young, which absolutely makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't have kids and I totally understand that. But I think it can be hard to then be not in those areas of life, like, or you're, you know, which then makes it harder to relate to people. If that's the only stuff we're looking for within one another.
If you don't have those things, where do you fit in within the church community?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then like...
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, you don't want to be left out because of those things, which unfortunately can happen and I've seen happen. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just... I think we have to know that like we're bringing more to the table than whatever you do for work or who your spouse is or how many kids you have or whatever
circumstances.
And I think it's a little bit ingrained in us women that for most of you, like we're caretakers. And then that looks like, however that comes to fruition.
That's also spoken into us, though, as children.
We're the helpers. If you look at the Garden of Eden, that's exactly, you know, we're always told, the helper.
Generally, like there are generalities to each sex. Like, there are certain things that can most of the time be true, but not always.
Right.
You know, some men might be better at hospitality. Some, you know, it can go both ways. But as you're growing up in the church, you're generally kind of filtered into those positions of, well, you can work in nursery or work with kids, or you can serve coffee and be in hospitality, or you can maybe sing on stage, but like, we still have our main male worship leader, you know, or whatever that you would answer to, and not answer to, but, you know, it's a supporting
more
role.
Or less, yeah.
Yeah. But it's just always kind of in the background. And I just don't even think it's thought about with boys growing up in church. Like, it's.
Yeah. I would be interested to hear.
Maybe as a man, maybe as a man, they feel like there's certain expectations as well. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I can't speak for them.
Right. Yeah, I'd be interested to hear those too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were you going to say something?
Maybe, but I don't remember now.
Okay.
Oh, do you need a pen?
No, I...
Can I help you?
Exactly. Well, and it...
We all want to fix it.
No kidding. I know, even when we're like, we're just asking questions, but there's going to be no suggestions on how to fix it. And we're all just like, why?
Wait, who said that?
Not here.
Oh. No,
we've had those groups, like...
That's not us.
Where it's like, you're just supposed to be sharing. Like, no fixing. And you're like, why not?
Just be present.
Just be present and listen and do those things.
But I do have a piece of paper and a pen if you need it.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Heather.
No, that works. My question is, someone who didn't grow up in the church, I've never understood, because, I mean, I know I was like, you know, 17, 18 when I stepped into a church. How, growing up, were those ministries introduced to you guys? Like, to see where those natural, quote unquote, filters are. Like, in youth group, were you presented with, hey, you're an active member now in this church. Here's some ways you can help us. Like, if you get a little older, or if you learn these skills, like, were those ever presented? Or if it was just like, how was that transition?
I mean,
I've seen it with our daughter. Like, just again, I think it's just the fact that we help start a very small church, has been in a small community, and then, you know, her dad learns every tech piece of everything, and he's into music, and we're close to all the other people. Like, when she shows interest, someone kind of takes her under a wing and teaches her that, or we push her that way. How was that for you guys to, like I said, get into those natural?
I mean, there's usually like a serving Sunday or something with like different booths or things presented where people can serve. But like, I grew up in music, and so it was just understood or expected, and not in a bad way, but I mean, that's what I knew how to do. Mm-hmm. And so as I became an older teen, I would play, my dad had me play, you know, on Sunday mornings in big church. Mm-hmm. And so that was always just kind of understood that was how I was serving.
But it took somebody, I mean, it was your dad, but it took another adult in the church to say, hey, I recognize your gifts and talents in this.
Yeah.
Like, come and help me with this.
Yeah.
That's how, or, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. For for other people, I don't really know how it's worked. Or, I mean, so often teenagers aren't serving, really, maybe within their youth group, and they'll graduate and off they go, you know? So it's kind of, there's not, from what I have seen or heard from other people, there's not a great process for involving young people. Mm-hmm. But then, so you come back as an adult, and like from there, hopefully you get worked into, you know, something that you are gifted in. I don't have a good answer for that, but.
Yeah, I guess I just posed the question of how are we going to work into that change?
Yeah. Like, I think most churches would say they try to find what people's gifts are.
Yeah.
You know, there's tests and
stuff. That's kind of our
goal.
Yeah.
But
at grassroots.
But yeah, I think there's just certain things that you assume of people, oftentimes just based on either who their family is or, gender, all sorts of things. You just assume people may be comfortable in a certain
Yeah.
facet
like,
of serving.
You're a woman, so you should like hanging out with babies.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And,
then you're like, I actually hate kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't stand them.
But those are always the people that kids flock to.
Like, yeah. It's like that wasn't a statement of me. No. I like kids.
No, but that's my favorite.
I realized the way I said
There's
it
a guy like... in our church who's kind of metal a little bit. And I love how the kids just go up to him and like they always want to ask him questions. He's like, what are you doing?
It's like they want to win him over.
Exactly.
Or
like, you're going to tell me I'm cute one of these days. I know it. Like, I don't know.
But I mean, kind of to answer your question, I remember as a high schooler, specifically how my church. We had the whole, you know, traditional youth group thing. Our youth group was pretty much separate completely from the church. It was connected building wise, but like big church didn't.
You were in there for Sunday mornings?
No, it was, we had Sunday morning youth group.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. I didn't ask it, right?
Oh, yeah. So yeah, we had it on Sunday mornings and, it was completely separate and it was a beautiful community.
Mm-hmm.
But then kind of the problem for that was we were communing only with ourselves, mm-hmm. not with any of the leaders within our church besides our pastor. So you go off to college, you don't know what you're good at in the church because you weren't involved. Like they would have a youth group Sunday, like takeover sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they would tell the whole church and there would be significantly less people show up because, you know, it was kind of like weird annoyance.
Yeah.
And it's like, how is anybody going to be encouraged to be a part of this community if we're made to be lesser than and not kind of brought under the wing of someone, which I guess for the people who grew up in the church with their parents, that would kind of be their parents' role is kind of, I don't know, to some degree, take them under their wing.
Hopefully.
Okay. Yeah, hopefully. But
yeah, because it's interesting to me how that next generation of leaders is developed and how they're exposed to the different opportunities in leadership. Mm-hmm. And if they are, you know, in my head, again, it's very like, you know, you're walking in the door like boys on this side, girls on this side will tell you what you're good at and you guys can decide. Like, like you know
no,
what I mean?
No.
Like, I again, yeah, no. Not having that
I mean, there probably are churches that do exist in that way.
Oh, probably.
We just
probably in Alabama.
Don't have those experiences.
Yeah.
I do and think one of the biggest things to change that mindset of like what different genders can do or what people are fitted. Obviously, we need to just throw that idea out totally of like, that your gender matters when you're serving. Mm-hmm. But I think what it really needs to be is showing kids as they come up in the church the value of serving.
Absolutely.
And participating in a community. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to serve or be on leadership to be part of the community. I think eventually that should be an outcome of being in a healthy community is that you want to participate
and serve each other.
Yeah. But I think what we need to, what our kids growing up now need to see, especially because they all have devices, all of us are so attached to devices that we miss a lot, I think. Mm-hmm. But what we need is like, for example, your daughter this morning, Alex, their 9-year-old, was at church early with her dad and I was running media this morning and she did all of it. Up Aww. Until it was time to go to kids. Like, so she checks, she read the slides. She made sure everything was right. Like, she's 9. She can read. She can absolutely do that. And
yeah,
it's,
that's
you know,
good.
And it's not, I think just teaching the kids the value of like participating.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You see garbage, we pick it up and we throw it away.
Right.
You see somebody struggling with the door, we open it for them. And that none of that has to do with, are you a boy? Are you a girl? Are you married? Are you unmarried? Are you
20?
Yeah.
Are you 5?
80? Are you homeless? Are you wealthy? Like all of those things don't matter.
Right.
And I'm actually going to stop us here. This is post-recording, Jen. Stopping us here. We talked long enough that we're going to make it 2 episodes. So,
boom, bitch.
Like she said, it is what it is, and you get what you get, and you're not going to throw a fit. Okay. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening and joining us on this week's show. If you'd like to support the podcast or just want to buy us a drink as an episode sponsor, check out our website at christianafpodcast.com.
While you're on the site, feel free to send us a message. We appreciate hearing from each one of you. Our hope with this podcast is to develop a community where you can openly question your faith, church, beliefs, and more.
Also, don't forget to find and follow us on social media at christianafpodcast. Share our episodes with your friends to help grow our community. We're always looking for questions, stories, or podcast ideas. You can send these to us via email at christianafpodcast@gmail.com or through our social media channels. So until next time,
stay curious,
stay connected,
and keep questioning. Thank you.